Kof Tammuz, Tuesday the 23rd of July, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt. Jealousy for Hashem's sake.
Jealousy for Hashem's sake.
Jealousy.
To explain. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We find the beginning of this week's parasha. We know the story. Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aaron Hakohen, Heishav es Chamasi me'abnei Yisrael, b'kanos kinosi b'soicham. He's described as kanos kinosi. He takes up the jealousy of Hashem, the zealousy of Hashem. V'lekelisa es b'nei Yisrael b'kinosi, and he therefore gets brisi shalom. So let's analyze a little bit. What is this middle of kino for Hashem's sake? And try and understand a little bit about the story of what took place, the Maisa of Pinchas, which already is the end of last week's parasha of Balak. The Torah tells us that there was, as much as Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people, he didn't succeed. Suddenly, he sends in the Benois Moav, and here tragedy strikes, because we find all of a sudden the Jewish people, they are Vayitzomed Yisrael Baal Pa'or. They're Tzomud to Baal Pa'or. The Gemara has a machlokes whether Tzomud means very, very close or loose. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. In other words, were they completely taken up by this Avodah Zarah or were they just loosely connected? We'll explain in a second. So what's this strange Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or? So there was Baal Pa'or involved. There was Avodah Zarah involved. So what's quite interesting is you read the Psukim, you see on the one hand they sent in the Benois Moav, that sounds like immorality, and the next Pasuk you're reading about Avodah Zarah, right? So clearly the Gemara tells us the link, that actually it was both. It was both. The women were sent in to seduce the men in order to get them to actually perform Avodah Zarah. And these are the two big Yitzrei Hara that we know. The primary Yitzrei Hara are the Yitzrei Hara for Avodah Zarah, and the Yetzirah for Arayus. And here they come together. And because they come together in such a terrible way, the result is disastrous, and 24,000 people, they die. Pinchas steps up, Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aaron Hakohen, Vayakom etzecha edarikach remach biyodoi, and he comes, Vayova acha ishi sol el akuba, Vayidkos shneim es ishi sol es ishi al kubasa, Vateotu magefa mal b'nei Yisrael. He stops the magefa. Now, what is difficult to hear to understand is a number of points. The first is, what is this Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or, which was such a threat to the Jewish people, ad kadei that we know that where's Moshe Rabbeinu buried? We don't know the exact place, but it's Mul Beis Pa'or, opposite, to counteract this Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or. So it must be so strong that we need Moshe Rabbeinu's Makom HaKavura that we don't even know where it is. We need it to counteract Baal Pa'or. So what is that? Secondly, Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden, they're doing Znus, and they are falling to Avodah Zarah. How could it be that, they ended up being sucked in? What is the jealousy of Pinchas? Now the word jealousy appears only in the context of Avodah Zarah. Only in the context of Avodah Zarah. That's not my comment. It's actually a comment of the Ramban. The Ramban says, like this, V'lo nimtza b'kosuv mokim shiyovay loshim kino b'shem ha'nechbad ki'im b'inyin Avodah Zarah b'lvad. Kino is always used in connection with Avodah Zarah. And we find Kadosh Baruch Hu has this expression of kino, of jealousy. Now that also needs to be understood. Why? What do you mean? Hashem is jealous? Hashem is jealous of Avodah Zarah? What does that mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu is jealous? Well, to ask it the way the Gemara asks it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the Gemara says like this, Tafnun Heim Dalef, Sha'al Agrippus Saud Tzavayas Gamliel. Agrippus, he asked Rav Gamliel, "Kesiv b'teraschem." It says in your Torah, "Ki Hashem lekecha eish oichlahu." Hashem is consuming fire. Kel kano, He is a jealous God. So ask this Roman official to Rav Gamliel, Klum miskana el chocham b'chocham, v'gibor b'gibor, v'ashir b'ashir? Surely one is only jealous of the equivalent type. In other words, one chocham will be jealous of another chocham. One mighty one of another, one wealthy person of another. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is jealous, that seems to imply that there is something in Avodah Zarah. Because he's jealous of them, right? So it must be, you're never jealous of something which is totally different to you, right? There's nobody here that's jealous of the intellectual capacity of a four-year-old. Because, okay, you know, that's just where they're up to. You're not jealous of that. You're only jealous of somebody in your league. So all seems to imply that Avodah Zarah is in Hashem's league, Chas v'Shalom. Omaloi, em shalucha moshel ma'adov v'doyma. Let me give you a moshel. La'odem shenosa isha. A man got married. Al ishtoi chashuva mimeno, ein miskano. If this person goes off, this man goes off and finds a wife more choshuv, he leaves wife number one and goes off with wife number two, ein miskano, meaning he understands, look, you know, that he's gone for something better. I was a lowlife. And you've gone for something better. Amos kind of chusavi mena, but if she's lower than him, then her, sorry, she's lower than her miskanaba, then she is jealous. Now, you know, you left me for that one. What does this mean? So Rashi explains. Rashi says like this. Amos kanaba. Ishto harishayna ena makpedes kolkach, lisnay es baalo. She's not so makpid to hate her husband because she realizes that she was a low life and he's now gone and divorced her and gone and married someone else who's better than her. No, she doesn't like him, but she doesn't hate him kol kach as much. She gets it. Aval im pechusa mimena, if wife number two is a low life, lower than her, miskano umakpedes olav lisnoisoi. Then she is miskano and makpid, she's particular to hate him. Which means Rashi's telling us that the definition of jealousy here is not simply, oh, you're jealous of the person. This person, we're saying like this, wife number one has been replaced now for wife number two, and wife number two is an absolute lowlife. She's a bizayin, she's got nothing to her. So the Gemara is saying, one thing if you would have divorced me and then married someone else, more choshev. No, I can understand, I would only hate you a certain amount. But you now get rid of me for some absolute lowlife? You're meshugah. And on that, that's what that means, miskanal makpedas olav lisnoisoi. There's jealousy and makpid to hate him. So what is the Gemara telling us here? What does this mean? What does it mean that there's jealousy? And you see from Rashi, it doesn't really mean jealousy, like we think. The Gemara's question was, well, 1 minute, if you're jealous, it must be you're in the same league. No. What Hashem is jealous of, what seems to be from that Gemara, is not the person. The person's a lowlife. What Hashem is bothered by is that the relationship. You left me for some lowlife? The Gemara says in Tainis that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Shtayim rois osa ami. My people have done a double negative against me. Oisi ozov. They've forsaken me. Maim chaim. They've forsaken me for what? For something which is nothing. So there's two aspects to Avodah Zarah. We hear about Avodah Zarah and we think to ourselves, what is this all about? But there's two aspects that is particularly bad. One is, you've forsaken Hashem. The second is, for what? For nothing. For stones, for something irrelevant. That is the jealousy. Hashem is jealous of the relationship. That we've left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is everything, for something which is nothing. And in fact, if you want to know, this is the makar of the yesod of all of Avodah Zarah. The yesod of Avodah Zarah is not just that you've left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're serving something else. You're putting all your koiches not into Avodah Hashem, but into Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah which is Zar. And that's why, for example, the Gemara brings down, there are certain isurim that are involved. We know, obviously, if anybody worships Avodah Zarah, that's the Issa. But if one does one of the Arba Avodas, Shchita, Zrika, Kabbalah Saddam, whatever you're doing, if you do Zukah Saddam, if you do one of the Arba Avoidas, you want to do the Avoida that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, to an Avoida Zara, it's a problem. Let me explain what I mean. There's an Avoida Zara called Malkolis. Malkolis was the Avoida Zara, you threw stones at this thing. That's what you did, you threw stones. Now what happens if a person decided not to throw a stone, but he threw a stick? Threw a stick. So he's not done Avoida Zara. Because the Avoida Zara is to throw the stone, and he threw a stick. Nope. Doesn't count. Not over Avoida Zara. What about if you shecht an animal to Malkolis? Now you might say, that's not Avoida Zara. Because the way of the form of worship was to throw the stone. Instead of throwing the stone, he shechted an animal. That is Avoida Zara. Why? Because Shechita is something which is supposed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you took something that was supposed to be done to Hashem and you did it for somebody else, that's called Avoida Zara. As the Pasuk says, Zevech lelehim yecharam, bilti laHashem levadoi. Only to Hashem. In other words, there's two aspects to Avoida Zara. One is the actual service, the other is the chutzpah that you have. Instead of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take that same kayach of shechita, or something supposed to get you close to Hashem, avoid us Hashem, and you go do it to Avoida Zara, that is a betrayal, that's a jealousy, which is a slap in the face, which is an issa, misa, in Avoida Zara. And that's why, in that same Gemara, Hashem complains, and he says, Gemara Nandalev. The Gemara says that the philosophers asked the Zakenim in Rome, if Hashem doesn't like Avoda Zara, why does he not get rid of it? Why does he not get rid of it? And the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara gives an answer, the Mishnah gives an answer. If it would be just them on their own serving some stones, then maybe Hashem would get rid of them. But they're serving the sun, the moon, the stars. But I should get rid of, Hashem says, I should get rid of the sun, the moon, the stars because of these people. Shaitim. Shaitim. Ela oilem kemen hoge noyeg. Shaitim shakil kulu asidim litin asadin. They're called shaitim. That is, and then the Gemara asks another question. If Hashem doesn't like Avodah Zarah, says like this, Kashem l'kacha ish oichlohu, kel kanom, neymar miskan abo evdeo, ve'im miskan abo. Why does it say that Hashem is only jealous of those that serve the Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself? The Gemara explains, because, the Gemara actually gives an example, we would call, if a dog comes to bite you, right, who are you going to be, the Gemara brings an example there, of a son who rebelled against the king, and the son calls the dog the name of his father. Right? And then, when the king hears about this, who's he going to be angry with? With the son or with the dog? Right? Obviously with the son. Meaning those people that worship Avodah Zarah, Hashem should be angry with these pathetic idols. They're nothing. But you go and serve them? That's considered something which is the kinah. You take the very life source of Avodah of Hashem and you serve Avodah Zarah, that's something disgraceful. And that Hashem can't stand and he can't bear. Meaning, the service of the Avodah, not the idols themselves. Those are nothing. Okay, you can't have idols, but it's the people that serve it. Now, so from what we see from this Gemara, is Hashem is bothered by the fact that you went and you exchanged me for some absolute lowlife, for nothing. That's the problem. That's called that's the jealousy. Not jealous because it has any meaning, but because look what you've done. You've almost given up everything for nothing. And there's two problems with that. You've given up everything and exchanged it for nothing. That's the issue. Now back to Pinchas. Baal Pa'ar, this story of Baal Pa'ar, the Avodah Zarah comes along. Baal Pa'ar. Baal Pa'ar was a strange Avodah Zarah. As we know, it was an Avodah Zarah to the service of which was to relieve yourself in front of the Avodah Zarah. Pa'ar. Pa'ara means to expose. That was the whole point of the Avodah Zarah. Strange form of worship. It's quite a Kiyadua, a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, where there was one person that decided he's going to show this Avodah Zarah once and for all. And he means, he wants to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. And it says that he relieved himself of the Avodah Zarah, and he wiped himself on the Avodah Zarah, and they praised him for it. He was trying to to put down their idol. They praised him for it. Oh, amazing service. What is this disgusting service? And it's such a powerful thing. It seems difficult to understand. And this Baal Pa'ar seems to be that you take the Kochus of Kedusha, anything that could be used, and remember the Jewish people on the highest level, and you take them and you actually expose them to negativity, to dark forces of just total hefkeris, of anarchy, of being disgusting, and somehow that has a dark side attraction. To the extent that Klal Yisrael, on the highest level, they were being drawn off to this Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah through Arayas, together. We know that these are the two big Yitzhar Hara in the world. Yitzhar Hara for Arayas, and Yitzhar Hara for Avodah Zorah. These two come together. When they come together, then Klal Yisrael are almost finished. Finished. Why? The two aspects are that they've given up everything that they had, and they're now going for this most disgusting thing possible. Disgusting. Avodah Zorah and Arayas mixed together. And therefore, the combination is lethal, and Klal Yisrael suffer tremendously. So Pinchas steps up, and as the Pasuk says, Bakanos kinosi b'soicham. He takes jealousy for Hashem. Kanoim poigim boy. What is this jealousy? What does it mean? So as we've explained, the kino, the middle of kino means Hashem is so disgusted that you've let go of what is the real thing and you've exchanged it for the other. So in order to counterbalance that, you now need to show that no, at the cost of all else, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the center of our life. You have to re-bring back the relationship. How do you express that? In public, you take a spear and you kill these people. I could be, the Gemara tells us that had Cosby turned around and killed Pinchas, would have been fine. He put his life on the line. But that's exactly the point. Pinchas put his life on the line to show that this is what is Ikka to us. It doesn't matter about my life. I'm not the center. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the center. And if this disgusting thing didn't take place, then this has to be the immediate result. We have to be disgusted. It's the expression of hurt that brings back the kino. Meaning, the kino was the jealousy of Hashem is so disgusted and disgraced by the Jewish people of sinner, what you forsake me for this. And Pinchas brings it back by saying, you could do this? He's so disgusted by it, he has to act on it immediately. It's an expression of disgust which shows how choviv it is, our relationship. You know, they often say, we hear these rallies where people will scream, Shabbos, whatever it might be. Yeah. We're not talking about throwing stones and the rest of it. But people say, you know, should you say Shabbos? Should you scream Shabbos? Is it going to make a difference? But many people ask, is it going to make a difference? You know, the guy's driving in Shabbos anyway. You're going to scream him Shabbos? It's going to make no difference whatsoever. Right? He's going to carry on. If anything, you're probably going to, if you're going to make it worse, then there's no inyan of machal. When it comes to the rules of machal, there's an interesting halacha, which is, you're not supposed to object to something if you know it's not really going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. But one time, you have to say something. One time. Just once. But what, I don't understand. If it's not going to do anything, why are you going to bother saying something? The answer is, one time you actually have to express the pain that I'm going through. This is terrible. Shabbos! That's it. Not because it's going to do anything to them, but because it's hurting me. It's an expression of my pain. If it's going to make it worse, maybe that's a different shayla, but I don't believe it's going to make it worse. It might not make it better. But if it's not going to make it better, there's no point in doing it ongoing. But one time you have to make a machar, you have to say something as an expression of your hurt. Because this is the kino. The kino is that this is painful. And therefore we find kino mentioned with Avodah Zarah, because the pain of leaving one thing which is the Dava Be'etzem, you've got the relationship with Hashem, and you serve something else, this is disgrace. We also find kino in the Pasuk, the kino es ishtoi, with regards to a Saita. Somebody goes astray, also, there's kino. You have the relationship right here. Why are you going astray? Moving astray from the essential relationship, that results in jealousy. Not because that thing has got any power, but because the relationship is the pain of seeing the betrayal. And who is Pinchas? He comes from a number of places. But one of the sources from Yosef. Yosef. Now Yosef teaches us, obviously it's not for nothing, that Pinchas, who is the one that comes to rectify a problem in the world of Arayus, Ervo, He comes also to rectify, Pinchas comes to rectify this particular situation. And that is because Yosef HaTzadik is able to understand that you might be attracted, you might be drawn after something, but you say no. You say no. You have to understand what it's all about. And so too, Pinchas, he understands this. His life is on the line. Not bothered by that. He puts his life on the line in order to save Klal Yisrael. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says something very, very interesting. He says, at the end of last week, we know the Jewish people were cursed, or tried to be cursed. And how did Bilam try to curse the Jewish people? Using Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin, that one time in the day where there's just pure Midas Hadin. Nobody can stand up to that pure Midas Hadin. So if Bilam could sneak in his curse at that point in time, then the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. Big discussion, what could he say in that split second? Okay, he could say Kalim, Kontentosvus, or another Pshat and Tosvus. He could start his Klala, and then you can finish. Fine. But he tried to curse the Jewish people. What did Hashem do? It says that Hashem didn't get angry during those days. There was no Midas Hadin, pure Midas Hadin during those days. Normally every day has a moment of pure Midas Hadin, and Bilam knew that moment, but during that time, those days, there was no Midas Hadin. Okay? Says Reb Tzadok, you have to understand that the world is a perfectly balanced place. Midas Hadin every day is needed. We need to have a perfect Midas Hadin. Because, what happened as a result? Midas Hadin, if it's not there, if there's no strict justice for that one moment in the day, it's all very nice, and it blocked Bilam's Klala. But now we just move the world out of balance. From Din towards Chesed. Now there's two sides of the pole. You have Chesed on one side, that's giving, and you have Din, which is Gevura, on the other. In fact, I should have done this way. This is Midas HaChesed on the right, and Gevura is Din on the left. Right? The right is Chesed, that's outpouring and giving, and the left is Midas HaDin. When you want to educate somebody, you want to bring up a child or a Talmud, you give and give and give. That's called Chesed. But if you give and give and give, and you smother them, they're never going to be able to move places on their own. Right? If the father is holding the bicycle, and he's holding it by the back of the bicycle, and he's taking the kid around, that's a chesed you're doing to the child. But if at 35, the son calls to his dad, I'm late for work, I need to hold the back of my bike, that's not called chesed anymore. That's, you've got to let go. And in the letting go, there's a midas hadin, but that allows the child to grow of his own accord. So you have chesed, and you have din. And the balance itself is what we want to have. The Shvil Azov, the Rambam always describes, is the middle path. Is the balance between how much you give and how much you hold back. How much chesed, how much din. So din is needed in the world. Says Reb Tzadok, when the din was taken away, what happened? So now we've moved towards chesed. Now the Torah tells us about Aroyas, that is called chesedu. Why is Aroyas called chesed? Because chesed means going beyond yourself, beyond your boundaries. There's no boundaries. Now that's all wonderful, to do chesed to others. You have a boundary here, you go beyond, you help this person and that person, all over the place, you're doing chesed. What's the negative chesed? When a person goes beyond his boundaries, doesn't know how to have any boundaries. You can't, when the guy's in your face, and when people don't have any boundaries, and when you move beyond all boundaries, then that's called arayas. Meaning, you don't respect, oh, that's someone else's wife. No, all of a sudden he breaks beyond all boundaries. So that's called chesed. The Torah calls arayas chesedu. Because he's broken all his boundaries. He just moves beyond. Says Reb Tzadok, in these days that din was taken away, so that means the world was now moved towards chesed. Too much chesed results in znus. Aha! Send in the Bnei Smayav. They'll be able to fall to Bnei Smayav because there was less din in the world, there's less strict justice. So that allowed the Bnei Smayav to then get a foot in the door with regards to chesed. That's how Reb Tzadok explains why the Bnei Smayav was so successful. But what we see from the Bnei Smayav is that they used the middah of Arayas and the middah of and the Avera of Avodah Zarah. Both of these together are the two greatest Yitzhar Hara against Klal Yisrael. And the only way to counterbalance that is with Kinah. Both of those have Kinah. Avodah Zarah has Kinah, as we mentioned, and brought from the Gemara. And that's and Saita also has jealousy. Because it's inappropriate. You've got the Dovah Be'etzem. You have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with your wife, to go anywhere else is called a jealousy, not because that thing is better, but because it's a betrayal and a sinah that results out of that relationship. So how do we bring it back? With Pinchas. Pinchas, who comes from Yosef, he understands this to be true, that we stand up for what we do either way. And let me just finish with one last point. As a PS, Yosef, I mentioned this in another place recently, Yosef, when he is able to stand up to Ashes Potiphar, he's able to demonstrate that he's not just somebody who's pulled after this world. Naturally, a person has a tiber to go after his chomer, his chomrius. Yosef sees the world in the correct way. He understands that you don't just get pulled after Arayas. In last week's parasha, it says that Bilam was Shosoma Ayin. He was blind in one eye, could see in one eye, but Rashi brings from Chazal that he was blind in one eye. He could only see. He had Ayin Ra'ah, but he only had one eye. And many times in the parasha, it mentions that he looked and he kept saying about his one eye. Right? No, Bilam, Shosoma Ayin. What is this one eye business? Why is it only one eye? So we know that Bilam was drawn after his donkey, after Chomer. That means he looked at the world with the eye of only Olam Hazeh. The two eyes represent two ways of looking at this world. There's a way of looking at this world which is just Olam Hazeh, and there's Olam Hazeh plus Olam Haba. To look at the world with both your eyes is to understand that there's the way the world looks in this world, that's Olam Hazeh, but the way it looks in Olam Haba. And you have to make those two match. Both eyes is how you have to look at the world. Bilam wasn't interested in Olam Haba. He was interested only in severing all ties. In the upper world, his head was up there. In his body, he was going after his donkey. He was following his chomer. He was following Olam Hazeh. He was only one eye. That's why actually Bolak says, he says the problem with this people, the Jewish people, they cover the eye of the earth. Because the Jewish people stand for, yes, we cover the eye of the earth, and we said there's also an eye in Shemayim. They say, no, we don't want the eye in Shemayim. We just want the eye that sees the world from this point of view. The Eino Oretz. And therefore, Bilam looks at the world with just one eye, with his eye in Hora. He only wants the world to be seen the way it is in this world. Yosef HaTzadik is not drawn after that particular eye. To have one eye means you're drawn after Olam Hazeh. You only look at the world in Olam Hazeh. From Yosef's point of view, so you should follow your Arayas. You feel the Taiva. You've got HS Potiphar here. Nothing else is stopping you. No one is stopping you. Why not? Because he looks at the world with both his eyes. There's Olam Hazeh eye, and there's the Olam Haba Dika eye. What would they say to me in Olam Haba? What are they going to say to me in the upper world? What would my father Yaakov say? He understood. He could see with both his eyes. Therefore, the reward that Yosef was given for overcoming the eye of Olam Hazeh is... he's now immune to the ayin hara. The pasuk says he's oile ayin. What's the pshat that Yosef is oile ayin? Right? That's what Chazal says. He goes above the eye. The single eye of this world, Yosef is oile ayin. He sees above that. If you see above that, you're now going to get the reward of, you're going to be completely keneged the yetzer hara. No yetzer hara can get, no ayin hara can get hold of you. Ayin hara means you only look at the world in this world, which is disconnected to that world, to the upper world. Yosef, since he was oile ayin, all him and all his descendants are now able to transcend the single eye of this olam hazeh. So it's not for nothing that Yosef, who is able to see from the higher world what it's all about, his descendant, Pinchas, comes along and is able to say, what are you doing here? What's this? What are you doing? You're falling for Avodah Zarah and for Arayas, which is looking at the world only in this way. Have you forgotten the connection to the world above? And therefore it's the descendant of Pinchas that comes along and achieves the end. And he brings back the kinah, and he gets Zaycha to the Brisi Shalom. Shalom is making Shalom once again between Shemayim and Oretz. Any Avodah Zarah, Arayas, that's a complete disconnection. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is terrible, Pinchas comes along, saves the day, reconnects Shemayim and Oretz, hinini nosin nos brisi shalom.